Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 1181 of the Juice Box Podcast. Today, we're going to do an After Dark with Haley, who is 28 years old and has type 1 diabetes. She works on a hobby farm, was diagnosed with type 2, obviously misdiagnosed with type 2 originally. We're going to have a lot here in this one, so be ready for some talks about drugs, depression, cutting, some suicidal ideation. But there's a lot more to this conversation with Haley, so settle in and we'll get going. Nothing you hear on the Juice Box Podcast should be considered advice, medical or otherwise. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your healthcare plan or becoming bold with insulin. Get your free 14-day trial at aura.com/juicebox. That's right, protection for your online identity and much more. I mean, seriously, much more. Credit scores. Oh my God, it protects your devices, VPN, but this thing, what it doesn't do. I mean, it would be easier to list what aura.com can't do for you. aura.com/juicebox, get a free 14-day trial. Don't forget to save 40% off of your entire order at CozyEarth.com. All you have to do is use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout. That's JUICEBOX at checkout to save 40% at CozyEarth.com. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by the Contour Next Gen Blood Glucose Meter. Learn more and get started today at ContourNext.com/JUICEBOX. Today's episode is sponsored by Medtronic Diabetes, a company that's bringing together people who are redefining what it means to live with diabetes. Later in this episode, I'll be speaking with Mark. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 28. He's 47 now. He's going to tell you a little bit about his story. And then at the very end of the episode, you can hear my entire mini interview with Mark. To hear more stories from the Medtronic Champion community or to share your own story, visit MedtronicDiabetes.com/JuiceBox and check out the Medtronic Champion hashtag on social media.
My name is Haley.
And you don't know how else to describe yourself other than Haley. That's fine.
Yeah, I guess, working mom, and I'm a farmer, so.
You're a farmer?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a job and you're a farmer, or your job is farming?
Both, yeah.
Okay, so you work somewhere else in conjunction with the farming?
Yeah, I actually work two jobs.
Okay. What kind of farm? Is it your farm?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot smaller through the years, but my parents live on property and we all live on the same property.
Okay.
So I've just been doing a bunch of turkeys and chickens and stuff.
Oh, I see. So mostly poultry.
Yeah, yeah. But I do the whole process from hatching them out to butchering them.
Wow. And do you sell them locally, or does somebody like take your stock and sell them somewhere else?
I don't really sell them. You have to have certain licenses to be able to sell poultry.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give them away to friends, but I will not sell them.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. So you, hold on a second. I like you. You're going to confuse me the entire time. So you take, you do the husbandry part, and then yes. You raise them. And then you go, hey, come here, buddy. And you smack it in the head and kill it. And then you cut its head off and pull it off its feathers and then give it away to somebody?
Yeah, more gruesome than how you described it, but yeah.
Oh, I was nicer about it than it actually is. Okay. why?
Because I actually either cut off its head or I slit its throat, so.
Okay. Yeah, hey, listen, my father is gone. And he described that his mom, so his dad would get this bonus at the end of his work week. On, if I've ever said this before, I apologize. They'd give him a chicken at the end of the work week. And he'd come home and just kind of toss it over the fence. And then his mom, my grandmother, would have to go out and catch it and then wring its neck and pluck it and then cook it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So she would do that with her bare hands because she was a farmer too. There's no compunction there. But my point is you have a farm, but you don't make money with it?
No, I usually have people like buy feed for my birds. It's mostly just a hobby farm. It used to be a lot bigger because I used to have like almost 160 birds.
Mm-hmm.
But now we just get the eggs.
Gotcha. I had turkey for lunch. But,
yeah, but normally I'll go and help some of my local farmers, and I'll help them butcher their birds.
Oh, I see.
And I'll teach classes.
Oh, so you've got a transferable skill still.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's really just for fun. I don't make any money off of it. If anything, I lose money. But it's something to keep me entertained.
So, Haley,
not go crazy.
For clarity, you murder birds for fun. Is that correct?
No.
No?
It's the husbandry that's the fun part.
Okay.
And also to provide food for someone else. That's the fun part.
I was teasing you, but okay.
Yeah, and giving the other people skills. Like, a lot of times I've had people come up to me and like ask me like, oh, do you know anybody that knows how to do this? And I was like, yeah, I can teach you.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I like doing those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because it's people learning how to literally grow their own food.
Did your parents make a living with the farm?
No.
Oh, this is a generational thing.
No. My mom used to live on an Angus beef farm. But my parents won't actually eat any of the meat that I make.
They don't trust you?
No, they just feel bad.
Really?
Yeah. I've effectively turned my mother into a vegetarian.
You're confusing the hell out of me, Haley. Let's keep going. Do you have type 1 diabetes or are you the parent of someone with type 1?
I have type 1 diabetes.
When were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed 7 years ago. So I was right after my 21st birthday.
Okay.
I was actually diagnosed with type 2.
All right. How long did that misdiagnosis last for?
2 years.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. Well, because I was controlling it with the keto diet.
Uh-huh.
And so, I got my A1C down to, a 6.2 in 3 months.
So you were honeymooning still. Your body was making some insulin.
Yes, it was making some insulin, but what really kicked it is that I finally got mono and didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really just kind of pushed it over the edge.
Do you think we could call this episode Birderer? I think we can.
I guess, right? If you want.
Oh, I think I'm going to. It's a strong contender in my mind early on. So murderer, but with bird. So birderer. Yeah. You got the joke, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But I work 60-hour week, so it's not just that.
Haley, you better say something much more interesting in the next 50 minutes or you're going to get an episode called Birderer. 100% sure of that. Okay. So you were misdiagnosed as a type 2 for all. You were managing with a keto diet, any medication. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're going to hear from a member of the Medtronic Champion community. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by Medtronic Diabetes. And this is Mark.
I used injections for about 6 months, and then my endocrinologist in the Navy recommended a pump.
How long had you been in the Navy?
8 years up to that point.
I've interviewed a number of people who have been diagnosed during service, and most of the time they're discharged. What happened to you?
I was medically discharged. Yeah, 6 months after my diagnosis.
Was it your goal to stay in the Navy for your whole life, your career?
It was. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think a few months before my diagnosis, my wife and I had that discussion about, staying in for the long term. And, we'd made the decision, despite all the hardships and time away from home, that was what we loved the most.
Was the Navy a lifetime goal of yours?
Lifetime goal. I mean, as my earliest childhood memories were flying, being a fighter pilot.
How did your diagnosis impact your lifelong dream?
It was devastating. Everything I had done in life, everything I'd worked up to that point was just taken away in an instant. I was not prepared for that at all.
What does your support system look like?
Friends, your family, caregivers, for me, the Medtronic Champions community, all those resources that are out there help guide the way, but then help keep abreast on, the new things that are coming down the pipe and to give you hope for eventually that we can find a cure.
Stick around at the end of this episode to hear my entire conversation with Mark. And you can hear more stories from Medtronic Champions and share your own story at medtronicdiabetes.com/juicebox. The Contour Next Gen Blood Glucose Meter is the meter that we use here. Arden has one with her at all times. I have one downstairs in the kitchen, just in case I want to check my blood sugar. And Arden has them at school. They're everywhere that she is. ContourNext.com/juicebox. Test strips and the meters themselves may be less expensive for you in cash out of your pocket than you're paying currently through your insurance for another meter. You can find out about that and much more at my link, contournext.com/juicebox. Contour makes a number of fantastic and accurate meters, and their second chance test strips are absolutely my favorite part. What does that mean? If you go to get some blood and maybe you touch it and, I don't know, stumble with your hand and like slip off and go back, it doesn't impact the quality or accuracy of the test. So you can hit the blood, not get enough, come back, get the rest without impacting the accuracy of the test. That's right. You can touch the blood, come back and get the rest, and you're going to get an absolutely accurate test. I think that's important because we all stumble and fumble at times. That's not a good reason to have to waste a test strip. And with the Contour Next Gen, you won't have to. Contournext.com/juicebox. You're going to get a great reading without having to be perfect.
No, I really didn't want to do any medication. I wanted to try to do it myself before I had anything intervene that wasn't myself. Because I've always had like a lot of health issues, but I've always been like one to push through them myself and not take medication. So honestly, getting type 1 really hit me hard because then I had to take medication.
Yeah. Did they eventually tell you you were LADA? So that's a pretty slow onset.
Yeah. They go back and forth. But yeah, it would go to the fact that I'm probably LADA. They played around with like the type 1.5 and everything. But I think at this point, I'm really just insulin, super insulin dependent.
Yeah, you're type 1 now. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Any autoimmune in the family, or do you have any other autoimmune diseases?
So, I'm actually adopted.
Oh, me too.
So, I didn't have any family history to go off of. So, I didn't find out until more recently, in the last like 2 years, when I finally reached out to my biological family.
Yeah.
But of course, none of them have type 1 diabetes.
Any other autoimmune stuff? You know?
I'm playing around. So I have multiple autoimmune diseases.
Right.
I have diabetes, and then I have necrobiosis diabetica. It's like a skin thing, but it's not like your standard blistering skin thing. It's just you're literally it's an autoimmune that's your skin's attacking itself.
I'm still Googling. Hold on. Wait. Say it again. NBD.
Necrobiosis diabetica.
Okay, hold on a second. Necro. What? Biosis? Is it lipidica? Like never mind. Don't read that phonetically. Give me a second right? here. Okay. Uncommon so, skin condition related yeah. to diabetes.
Yes, it's super uncommon. It's only found in diabetics. So when I actually found out that I had it, the skin specialist was like, can we take a picture of it? It's not very common. We like to have evidence of it. I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Thanks. I want the laundry.
Can I pose with a dead turkey? A skin rash that mostly commonly affects the shins and seen more often in women. Is it on your shins?
It's on my shins, but it's also on my hips too. It's for some reason I have it like in more areas than the common. So it's like, again, I won the lottery again, I guess.
That's interesting. Is that autoimmune?
Yeah, it's an autoimmune disease.
Gotcha. Okay. Holy hell.
And then I have another one that I'm in the process of actually getting diagnosed with. Like, I know I have it, but I need like clinical diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It's called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Oh, sure. The stretchy.
Yeah.
Ligaments.
It's an autoimmune disease that affects your connective tissue. Mm-hmm. So you don't create the correct connective tissue.
I once had a doctor say, we're talking about that. And they said, you know, people can get diagnosed if they want, but there's no treatment.
No, there isn't.
He was so matter of fact. He's like, so whatever. And I was like, okay, brother.
Oh, so you have it too? Or
No. I was talking about it with someone once and he was just making the point, like, you know, people can get diagnosed if they want to, but it's there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is it actually affects your heart and digestive system as well because it is the connective tissue.
Yeah. So what are you seeing?
I'm like super bendy.
Okay.
But I also have a lot of hip and joint injuries, like where I can like put my hip and knee out of place and put it back in. Ugh. Yeah. Like it's just on a regular basis.
Does that hurt?
Not anymore. So because it's a chronic disease and I've had it for so long, I don't really feel it anymore.
Oh, wow.
But because like if anybody else was in my body, they would be in excruciating pain.
But it's just a party trick for you?
Yeah, I guess.
Good thing those turkeys aren't that flexible.
Yeah. But so I actually started having issues when I was like 12, and they all just thought it was just like growing pains. Mm-hmm. And also I'm short, but have huge feet like for my height.
Like a hobbit?
Kind of. Oh. I wear like 10 and a half wides for women.
Okay.
And I'm only 5'3".
Oh, hell. You must look like an L.
Pretty much. My husband has the same issue.
Are you serious? Yeah. When you try to kiss, can you not reach each other because your toes are hitting?
No. But he is taller than me, but but our poor son has big feet now, too. I was like, sorry, dude.
That's a good try, but I still think this one's called Birder. I haven't interviewed anybody in a few days, and I have there was like a trip in between. So I feel like very silly right now. I don't know why. And we're doing it at night. I usually do these in the morning when I'm still being serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But this could go well off the rails. Okay. So tell me a little bit about how you felt when you were younger and what are you going to do to get a diagnosis?
Well, I guess when I was younger, I'm very much, because I had like learning struggles too. I am very much of like, I'm not going to let myself stop me.
I'm not going to let myself stop me. That's excellent. Like, you tell yourself, no, you can't. I got you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I never want anything to slow me down, let alone myself.
Yeah.
So I just persevered through it and I did soccer. We have a picture of me kicking a soccer ball and it looks like my knee's like opposite of what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. That's unpleasant.
Looks like a flamingo. So I just kind of grew up with it and I just dealt with it. I was on swim team almost professional, like before professional.
Right.
And I did it for like 6 years, but then finally I just had to quit because my joints, even though like swimming is supposed to be like gentle on your joints, it's the rotating all the time that really like affected me. So I finally just had to quit. Mm-hmm. But I've been like going to naturopaths, doctors, physical therapy, all different kind of things throughout my life. So my parents really wanted me to succeed.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of just like when like my learning struggles and the ADHD and the physical struggles.
Yeah. Well, so you said you had more things. You have how do you pronounce that?
Ehlers-Danlos
syndrome. Yeah. See, you probably have that. You've got ADHD. You have type 1 diabetes. You have the skin patches. Yeah, I don't want to say that word again because I think I almost cursed saying that word. It does. Where's that at? Let's look at that again. It's lip. So there's the necrobiosis, but then it's lipoidica.
Yeah, lipidica.
Listen, between you and me, Haley, I was really afraid I was going to say like a. And so I just kept stopping.
Yeah, so that one is harder to say, so I don't say it as that. That's a scientific name of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it doesn't sound scientific when I say it, so I skip it. You have those. Would you have anything else?
As of right now, I don't think so. But, you know, with autoimmune diseases, they all come in three, and I'm at three. So
it's either you hold here, you think you're going to go to six?
Yeah, pretty much.
How's your thyroid?
Surprisingly, it's okay.
Celiac? No?
No, I don't have celiacs. I have a hormone imbalance, but it's not like crazy.
What does that entail?
Well, like I have higher testosterone than women should. So like I get like, sometimes I get a little bit of facial hair, which is great for a woman.
No, you gotta love it. Yeah, women are always very excited when they get facial hair. And little stray hairs around their nipples they're thrilled about too, I've noticed. You ever get those?
No.
Oh, good for you. Look at you winning. Okay.
But yeah, so it's just weird. I didn't even know they really diagnosed me with it. And so I was going through my medical records after I was diagnosed type 1.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I guess I had a hormone imbalance.
How about, do you see any problems with your menstruation, your periods? Do you have acne, stuff like that around?
Yeah, I have pretty bad acne. But also I've never really, like, my period is like crazy spot on. Like, I know the day before it's going to happen. It's crazy.
Okay. So not heavy periods or anything like that?
No. No, it's just normal.
Interesting.
But I also have like such a high pain tolerance from the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So I don't know. But I was like in 4 days of labor with my son. So
wait, I don't understand. I thought everything was stretchy.
It is. But I got preeclampsia.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was born 2 months early.
Haley, have you considered giving up? I'm just
teasing. No, I know, but it's so true. And that's the thing is, it's like, yeah, I got preeclampsia and like, I literally was fighting it the whole time, like trying to make everything perfect, but I've always had like elevated blood pressures.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't succeed.
Is that your only child, your son?
Yes.
Yeah. That experience may just stop, or you just haven't had a chance to try again.
I haven't had like successful.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I gotcha. And you're 28 now?
Yes.
Okay. I did that math just from the story you told. So people should be pretty freaking impressed.
Well, I'm impressed that I remembered it correctly then.
Oh, wait. Are you? Maybe you're not 28. I've talked you into believing you are.
No, I am 28. Oh,
okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't remember for sure how long I had diabetes and stuff. So mm-hmm. I was like,
Not bad. Not bad at all. What makes you want to come on the podcast?
Because I have all these experiences and stuff, and I've been through a lot with diabetes and everything else, I kind of just wanted to be another voice of, you know, I live in this chaos, mm-hmm. and yeah. other people might live in it too, and to know that you're not alone, because I know for me, for a long time, I felt very alone, because okay. I didn't find out till I was like 21 when I had diabetes, yeah. and I had to figure it out on my own.
Your family was not helpful at that point, or you didn't ask them to be?
I was moved out at that point.
Oh, you were.
And they had no idea how to deal with it. They just freaked out. So I didn't tell them anything.
So wait, so you were on your own 21. Did you go to college?
Yeah, I did some college. I did it's called Running Start. And it's like you do college while you're still in high school.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I took on like an 18 credit load, and then I still went to high school and another school. So yeah, I'm a little bit of a overachiever sometimes, or I like to punish myself.
Did you finish college?
I have 2 classes, and they're both math classes.
Listen, Haley, I'm going to help you a little bit. You can't call yourself an overachiever and then tell me you still have 2 classes left to get through college when you're 27.
It's because I got so burnt out from trying to do everything.
Okay. So tell me. So then let's see. Like, I'd like to know about that. Tell me what happened.
Well, again, I was doing like 18 credits at college, and then I was working and I was going to high school. And then I also was doing culinary programs to where I went into like state and nationals.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm very good at overburdening myself.
Is that the ADHD? When did you get that diagnosed, by the way?
Just recently.
Tell me, what led you to find out that was the case?
Well, my sisters, my adopted sisters, they were talking to me and they're like, Haley, you should look into ADHD because you have a hard time with these kind of things. And I was like, well, okay. And my husband also has ADHD. So.
Why'd you giggle like that? You giggle a lot. And I don't know why you're giggling. What was so funny there?
It's because usually people that have ADHD, like, gravitate towards other people that have ADHD. So.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Because we have the same kind of mindset and understand and can actually keep up with each other.
So you follow him when he's kind of jumping around.
Yes, I can keep up with him, but okay. Mostly he can keep up with me because he's more of a quiet, more internalized ADHD brain.
Okay.
Where I'm more external.
Tell me the difference, please.
So internal would mean that like you have so many thoughts going at once, but you keep them inside and you're very analytical and your attention to detail is like crazy. Whereas 9, I can't keep it inside. And so I'm super talkative and bubbly and like jump to different like subjects really quickly and say like squirrel. So it's really hard for me to keep it all in because not only do I have, it sounds crazy, but you have multiple thoughts in your head, but then also I can't keep it in my head. It has to be expressed out. And so people get really confused.
Okay. So you're saying that you have like at any moment you have 2 different thoughts going on in your head.
Oh, probably more like 6.
And which one are you sharing? How do you decide which one to share with me?
I don't know. I don't really decide. It just kind of comes out. Like, so I can't, when I'm talking to someone, you know how you grow up, you look in their eyes and stuff as a sign of respect.
Okay.
I cannot look at someone's eyes. I have to look like around them and keep moving. Otherwise I get distracted and my thoughts like take over than if I'm actually listening to the person.
Tell me why looking in someone's eyes does that.
Because my mind is like stop being interested at what it's looking at. Like looking at the eyes without actually like looking at other things around me, it makes my brain really distracted because it's bored with the situation. So it's like, let's think about this now.
Okay, so if you're concentrating too hard on somebody, you're looking them in their eyes, trying to really concentrate on them, your mind wants to look around the room.
Yes.
And well, so
it's more like it's bored. And so it thinks of something else that's internally in your head. And then you go like on a tangent in your head.
Okay. What if the people are really boring? Maybe it's not ADHD. Maybe you just know really boring people.
Well, it happens to everybody. So
are you jumping around while we're talking? Because I don't find you. You think you are?
Yeah. Well, I didn't take my medication this morning. So yes.
On purpose to be fun or you forgot?
No. Oh, no, I did. I forgot.
That's the funniest thing you're going to say the entire time we're talking, in case anyone's wondering. I expect nothing funnier than this to have just happened. So you did take your medication today.
Yes.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing. It's hilarious. But I want to get back. Hold on. What's the giggling? Are you nervous when you giggle?
No, I'm actually not really a nervous person. I really do like speaking like in front of people and doing podcasts and stuff. So like I've done my own podcasts.
Okay. Is it wildly successful or maybe people are irritated by you? Should I get you off right now?
No, it's just a couple videos I did on one of my diabetes groups.
Oh, all right. You calling that a podcast?
Okay. I started the podcast. Doesn't mean that I actually finished it.
Nobody does. Do you know there are 4 million registered podcasts?
That's not surprising.
Do you know how many are actually active?
I don't know.
Yeah, like 400,000 of them.
Oh, wow.
And active only means at least one episode a month.
Yeah, no, I started doing it. And as many things, it's very common with ADHD, I got distracted and moved on to something else.
So are there things in your life that you genuinely want to be doing that you're not because you've been distracted away from them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's like, again, going back to the whole that I have to overcome myself.
Yeah.
So like, for me, the school, like not finishing my college is really like hard on me because I feel like I never finished it. It didn't close the book.
Do you need the degree? Like
that. Huh?
Do you need the degree? Could you put it to use?
Oh, yeah. But right now, my husband's going to college. But when he's done, then I'll go back and finish my 2.
How old is he?
He's 28 as well.
And what's he going to college for?
He's getting his BA and his MA in IT and cybersecurity.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, I know some kids going to school for that right now. They're 9 years younger than your husband and probably a much more attractive hire, but tell him to hurry the hell up because he's gonna want some money when he takes one of those jobs, you know? And those kids are gonna do it for free.
Right.
Yeah, because they're living with their parents like little like leeches. They don't even need money. Yeah. It's all unfair. Well, that's cool. Did he go back to school or did he just start later?
So he only has like 1 or 2 classes to finish his associates. Mm-hmm. And he stopped around the same time I did, which is after we got married.
How old were you when you got married?
We were 24.
So you guys both got married and then decided not to go to college anymore.
No, I was trying to finish up my college before we got married. But then we moved to another city pretty far away. And then we just started working a ton. So it just wasn't feasible.
I understand. No, I really do. You make that baby on purpose or no?
Yeah, we did.
Good for you. We had a plan. Think you didn't get distracted in the middle of it and decide not to do it?
probably.
I'm sorry. ADHD is not funny. You're just delightful. That's all.
Oh, good.
I love that you don't know that you giggle a lot.
I've done it for a long time, and I think it's just for like spaces when I don't have a thought, then I fill it with that.
No, that's what I'm trying to get at, because you're making me feel hilarious and I know I'm not. So like you're laughing at, you said something horrifying and I forget what it was and then laughed immediately afterwards. So I was like, that was interesting.
It's kind of a coping mechanism too.
Yeah. So you just did it there.
I know.
Are you aware?
Make me think about it.
Well, no. Are you aware that it's happening or no when it happens?
Like right away, I don't notice it. It's if I look back at it, then I'm like, oh, I did do that kind of thing. But that's like my life and not realizing I do things until later on, like, oh, I did do that.
Have you ever tried not to do it? Like consciously not to giggle?
Oh, no.
Let's do it for fun. Can we do it? Can we try?
No.
Why did you?
It's a coping mechanism as well as like filling the space. And also it's like, for me, I have a hard time expressing like emotions and stuff and being like the right point across. So if I laugh or giggle about something.
I don't understand. What do you mean you have trouble? I don't have any trouble like understanding your emotions that you've like laid out for me so far. Why do you think you have trouble doing that?
I've had that for a long time. But again, being on the medication helps.
Wait. Don't hold on a second. Do me a favor. Don't tell me it's just a thing that's always happened. Explain to me what it is. Like, what do you mean you can't express your emotions?
Or I don't understand other people's emotions or reading the room well.
Okay.
And so I will a lot of times speak things matter-of-factly, but then they're actually like really deep things. And then I'm really hardcore empath. So then I feel it onto someone else. Like I never want them to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I a lot of times will giggle at things in order to like lighten the mood, because I can say things that are horrible and just a matter-of-fact thing. But then I get to the whole point of like, oh, now they feel it.
So you don't like it when other people feel the emotions of what you're saying?
Yeah, right. Because I don't like feeling it and it's hard for me. So it's easier to make light of it.
You expect it'll be hard for them.
I very much don't like people. Like that's why it took me forever to like go to therapy and stuff. Just because I don't want anybody to feel like the pain or anything that's going on with me. Because
that's what I was going to ask you. Like, are you really trying to protect them or are you protecting yourself from feeling badly about how they feel?
That's a hard question. I think it's a bit of both, but I think originally it would have been the thought of protecting someone else from feeling my feelings. But I think it also is a coping mechanism to protect myself. Okay. If I really look at it.
Do you have trouble being close to your husband?
I can. Yeah. Especially like after we had our son, I had really, really bad like postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot that I've worked through, but kind of got really dark.
Were you depressed? I'm going to throw the baby out the window depressed, or where were you exactly?
No, nothing like to him, but to myself and like just the burden of both the guilt of having my son so early and that I couldn't will my body to make it happen correctly.
Okay. So but when you try to be like open with your husband, does it not work?
He's very good about reading me. I'm not very good about expressing it because again, I'm already feeling these heavy feelings and I don't want anybody else to.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to express those, especially if I talk to him about like kind of the more dark stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want him to know about those things.
Haley, I don't normally ask people this, but because of the direction our conversation's in, I'm going to ask you, what in God's name are you doing while we're talking?
Oh, I'm literally just sitting on a spitty chair and rolling around.
Okay, because there's like clicking and popping. And like if you told me you were like popping the lid on like, I don't know, like test strips, I would have believed you. But you're not futzing?
No, I'm rolling around. No, I'm just rolling around in a chair.
Do you know futzing? You know the word?
Oh, yes. Yeah, pretty much.
Like messing
with stuff. My cord is a...
Yeah, like touching the cord or tapping your glasses on the desk or something like that.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because I'm very... Everything has to move.
What is this medication supposedly doing for you?
It helps. So I'm also on antidepressants.
Okay.
So they're both stimulants. So the antidepressants releases happy stuff, but also
I see you looked into it. you really read that label, huh?
I don't remember the top of the head like right now what it is, but the other stuff, the ADHD meds, works with the antidepressants to help your body release like dopamine and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That it has a hard time releasing.
Okay. You went on the antidepressants after the birth of the baby, is that right?
Yeah, I should have done it a long time ago. But okay. Again, been very much of like not into medication until I'm literally forced into it.
Tell me how you felt without the antidepressant.
I guess I can go darker, but I did a lot of cutting and self-harm. Mm-hmm. And try to commit suicide, I think, 3 times now.
At what ages?
Just in the last couple years.
Can you tell me, like, vaguely what the attempts were like?
The first one was because I had recently gotten my insulin pump. And I was struggling with it, and it kept failing and stuff. And I felt very, like, I finally got this thing that I worked so hard for. I literally had to tell a doctor that, yes, I need it. And it wasn't working and I was frustrated. And luckily it has a lock on it that you can't overdose yourself.
Right.
So that's what stopped it.
So when you say you attempted to give yourself like too much insulin, like,
yeah,
can you look back? Was your real intention to hurt yourself or were you looking for someone to notice?
It was definitely to hurt myself because I don't share things. Yeah. So I don't really want people to notice. And it was like super late at night. And my husband was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tried to give myself a ton of insulin. But again, the alarms shut it off.
Okay. Other times were with insulin as well or different ways?
Different ways. There was one more recently when I was at work and one of my coworkers kind of just betrayed me.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a friend, and I went into my truck and I was like about to write a suicide letter and stuff. Like I was just done. Luckily I had therapy that day. So that really saved me.
Okay. That's amazing. Hey, you weren't trying to get rid of Murderer, but I guess you did it. I can't use that now.
Yeah. So, sorry.
I didn't know this was going to happen. All right. We'll start over, I guess. Such a perfect title for a podcast. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Haley, I'll be all right. I don't want you to worry. You see a therapist or a psychiatrist?
I see a therapist. I was seeing a psychiatrist just to get diagnosed with ADHD, but now I just see my therapist who also has ADHD. So it works out really well.
Or not, depending. I don't know. I'm not there to judge it. But what if it doesn't? What if you guys are just telling yourself it's going great and it's not? She's like, is it a she?
No, he?
Okay.
It's mostly that he can keep up with my brain, so I don't have to explain myself all the time.
I'm imagining it's going terribly, and he goes, I think this is going great, don't you? And you go, yeah, and then it's over. And then, there's no one there to just check you and go, hey guys, I don't think this is going well at all. So,
we got on so many tangents of different topics.
This is what I'm worried about. It sounds like you guys are making a podcast for two people is what's going on.
Well, the funny thing is, too, is he also plays D&D. So we'll go on tangents about D&D as well.
I think you need to find a better therapist, but that's neither here nor there. But the reason I asked about this is because is there any chance there's something else going on that's not seen? Is there a chance you could be bipolar or anything like that?
So that's when I went to the psychologist and they thought I might be bipolar as well, but then they ruled that out.
How did they do that?
I took some tests, like personality and how I deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just ruled out that I, when I have, supposedly I don't have as enough like swings in personality. Also, I don't get stuck there super long.
Okay.
So.
It's interesting. I appreciate you sharing all this, Haley. Seriously.
No, it's all good. I'm kind of an open book when it comes to like just factual things. Like I can turn my things I'm going through into facts and then I can actually like share them.
Yeah.
But if I feel the emotion with it, I can't share it.
Okay. I mean, so. I'm looking back again and you talked about like postpartum depression in your notes, but I didn't realize that like your depression led to like suicide attempts and stuff like that. So I was a little unprepared for the direction of the conversation, but I'm okay. No, I'm okay.
I think I've been dealing with it for a long time, like ever since probably middle school, but I've again been very much not wanting to go into medication or share my feelings or anything.
Yeah.
And so the being diabetic really hit me hard. And then with my son, it hit me hard again. And so it kind of like pushed everything over.
Yeah. When you contacted your birth family, did you ask about the depression?
No, I try not to get into their drama. They're very dramatic. I know like my biological mom was only like 17 when she had me and she was 16 when she had my older sister.
Okay. Oh, do you know your sister?
Yeah.
Is she also adopted or does she stay with the biological mom?
So I was the only one that was adopted out. And that's another sore subject. But then I had one. So I had one. There's an older one. And then there's a younger one. Like she's 3 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I'm just trying to like just piece it all together. That's all. Because, you know, I think that the number of people that I talk to who have like, you know, mental health concerns and other autoimmune issues, it's not a low number. You know what I mean? Like when people come on here and they're like, hey, you know, I've suffered with depression or this or that, they often talk about like a lot of other autoimmune stuff. And I just mm-hmm. wonder how much of that, I don't like, please keep in mind, I'm an idiot. Okay. But like, it makes me think about like inflammation and how it might be impacting things that people just never think about.
Yeah. The other thing is too, for me, I was also born 2 months early, but she forced it happening. And she's a druggie.
Okay.
So there's a lot of other things that are a part of that too.
Yeah. Also, what kind of drugs was she using? The mom?
Meth, heroin.
Yeah. That stuff can be to quiet like depression too. Sometimes like people are self-medicating in ways.
Well, she was only like 16 when she was with her 26-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah, you're not describing a lot of stability there.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just saying maybe she's got something going on as well. How about your sister? Does your sister have any of these issues?
The older one, she was into drugs. Our biological father like pretty much used her as like a drug mule and would actually like pimp her out and stuff.
Oh my God. Wait, like sexually?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Where the hell do you people live? I got to make a map of places I'm not going. Which one is this? You don't have to say.
I was going to say, I probably shouldn't.
It's in the Midwest, though, right?
Northwest.
Oh, in the rainy part. Yeah, it's hard to live there. Yeah, you shouldn't live there. People shouldn't live there.
Well, I was adopted from, my dad's a police officer and stuff. So mm-hmm. I was adopted to a really good family.
But your birth mother and your adopted family are reasonably close, like in the same state?
Yeah, we're all the same state.
Okay.
My mom actually, my adoptive mom, she's my mom. She's been keeping tabs on them all, like through Facebook and stuff.
Okay.
So that if I ever wanted to reach out, then it was very easy for me to.
Right. Well, you know, earlier I said I'm adopted too and you laughed. I wasn't sure if you laughed because
even hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. I was like, I'm adopted too. And you laughed and I thought, is this nervous laughter or is she laughing because she thinks I'm kidding about being adopted?
I didn't hear you.
All right.
Sorry.
I'm adopted too, Haley.
Well, that's good to know. So you understand some of that.
I mean, I don't understand a lot of it. A lot of that was pretty screwed up, but I understood most.
Yeah. Well, I didn't find out a lot of this until way later. So I was very much of like, oh, she was young and that was so gracious of her to adopt me out to have a better life. And then like the things that I found out with both her like trying to force abortion because I was too far along.
Yeah.
So she like tried to do it herself.
Oh, with like a stick or what do we do there?
Like pushing on her stomach.
Oh, wow. What a scientist.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay.
Sorry.
You didn't ask. No. Okay. Don't be sorry.
I went down the path.
Haley, you're going to be part of the new uncensored After Dark episodes. Congratulations.
I was trying, like, I'm like, I don't really cuss, like, anything. Nah, so
this is good enough. You don't need to cuss.
I can share these things. It's more of a matter of fact.
I understand. Yeah, if we sat down and tried to talk it real personally, you'd have trouble saying these things, right?
Oh, in the beginning, I would still keep it as, like, fact. But, yeah, if I went in deeper and it was just you and I, then, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it can't be easy to know that somebody tried to abort you. First of all, that's a tough one. That's tough.
That was hard.
Yeah. And even though it's got nothing to do with you, I still don't know how it doesn't make you like, oh geez, like feel terribly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then on top of that with like her having a kid that she kept after me too.
Yeah. 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 You weren't good enough to keep, but the other one was.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. Which is how it feels. Probably not what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what I mean?
There's three of us that were from the same dad, and then there's one after that's another guy. Mm-hmm. So, but my biological father had like 16 kids of four different women. So,
was he super handsome?
No,
really? How does that happen, Haley?
I don't know.
You know
hardcore
what I mean?
Druggy and just
it's the drugs part, right? Because, like, I'm trying to imagine talking four different women to let me have babies with them when they knew that I had babies with other people too.
Yeah. Well, I guess he was kind of forceful with like at least my biological mom.
Oh, wait. Sorry. This was not like a consensual thing.
Like it was, but like she kept having kids because he wanted to have kids. She wanted to get out of it.
But there's not a lot of common sense going on a lot of the things that you're saying. That's
no, it's not. Again, yeah, it's chaos.
No, it's upsetting to hear. I mean, it's not. I'm not like shocked or anything like that. But you don't want to think that people are living in these circumstances,
right? Well, and the thing is, too, she left her parents because she don't want to be around her parents. But her mom is like hardcore bipolar narcissistic. So.
Oh,
that's where a lot of that's why when you said that about like other things, mm-hmm. She's been diagnosed with bipolar and narcissistic.
Oh, okay. And this is who? Tell me, this is your mom's mom?
Yeah, so my biological grandmother.
Yeah. Oof. Your parents know about all this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've shared everything with them.
This is stuff you found out. It's not stuff they found out, right?
Correct. Yeah.
That's tough for them to hear too. Did they adopt other kids or just you?
So I have a younger sister that's also adopted from a different family.
Oh, that's nice. Lovely.
Yeah. And they had like 10 foster kids and stuff.
Wow. No kidding.
So, yeah. They only have one biological.
Oh my God. They have a biological child. They fostered like 10 kids and they adopted two kids.
Yeah.
She trying to like get into heaven or something? What's going on there?
Well, so they had my older sister and then years they were trying and she kept having issues and miscarriages and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then in the meantime, they just fostered kids because they were able to provide that. And then, they adopted me. And then 4 years later, they adopted my younger sister.
Oh, they seem like lovely people. That's very nice.
Yeah.
My gosh. All right. So hold on. How do you, Matt, every once in a while, I think, this podcast is about diabetes. You should ask a diabetes question. That happens to me sometimes where I'm like,
right.
Yeah. But how, like with this, like all this that you're describing, like how are you with your type one? Are you kind of hands-on, like on top of it? Is your A1C where you hoped it to be? Is it something you struggle with? How does that all go?
So right now it's not super great because it's like, for me, it's really hard to manage multiple illnesses at once. And so it's been kind of put on the back burner when I've been trying to figure out all this other stuff. Like I still like it. I'm in an okay range, but not like mm-hmm. where I should be.
Can you tell me what that right means? Now, what's okay range?
Like I'm consistently in between like 140 and 180.
Mm-hmm. And what's stopping you from doing what you want to do?
I'm just trying to figure out with mental health and then now this whole thing with ADHD diagnosis and then the researching into the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and then working 60-hour weeks. It's just, yeah, it's been a lot. Mm-hmm. And being a mom. But luckily, like, my husband's a stay-at-home dad. What he works two jobs, too, and does school. Jeez. But it's all online.
You guys seem busy.
Yeah, we're prone to kind of filling our schedules. Probably why we get along so well.
I had a pretty chill, I had a pretty chill day, Holly. I have to tell you. I got up a little late. So here's where I'm at. My wife had to travel for business, right? So she left last evening. And then I spent that last night by myself. I was a little lonely, I have to admit. But that's fine. I lived through it. And then I slept a little later this morning because I didn't have to get up because you and I were recording at night. And I had a lot of like work to do, but I was like, I'm going to sleep a little extra. So I got up at like 10 o'clock, like a king, you know what I mean? And I rolled out of bed and I was like, now I'm going to take care of the dogs and get a shower and have something to eat. I didn't even start my day till like 1 o'clock today. I was like, this is how ballers live. Except there were no like, you know, there were no like scantily clad girls running around or anything like that or cocaine or it's not really a baller lifestyle at all, I guess is what I'm saying. But I just started a little later today and I got a bunch of work done this afternoon and then I'm recording with you. I had a turkey sandwich in there somewhere and and now I'm after you, I'm going to work more and watch a football game. So yeah. But this is a pretty slow day for me. Usually I'm up earlier and working like the whole day. Just, I was like, let me see what would happen. Like if I lived by myself, how would it go? And turns out it would go pretty easy. I would take it pretty easy on myself. But he's got two jobs and he's taking, and it's school from home. So are the jobs from home as well?
Yeah. So he does one job that for his old job that he had before he went to school, he does their like routing so that he works for a FedEx contractor. Mm-hmm. So he kind of dictates where everybody's going based on the package load.
Interesting.
And yeah, so that's what his job is for that. So that's not a ton of hours, but it's a couple hours at night. And then he just started doing a job as their for our church for like their social media and what's it called? Anything to do with social media and like making slides and stuff. So he does that too.
Yeah, making content for them.
Yeah.
Very nice. And then he's watching the, how old's your son at this point?
He just turned 2.
Oh, that's a wonderful age. Do you worry about diabetes for him? Is that something that's in your head?
For my son, you know, that's why it took forever for us to like even get pregnant is because I really was just like, I was all down for adopting. And I just didn't want to pass it on to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had a friend of mine who's also diabetic. She said that even if it happens, you are the best well-equipped person to take care of him and to help him. Mm. So I just felt better about it.
Okay. That's excellent. The medication you take for your ADHD, like what happens if you don't take it?
I get super spacey and like, so this is me being bubbly for on meds. Imagine 10 times worse.
So without the meds, you'd, like this would be multiplied for like the kind of jumping around and the giggling and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I can't concentrate. So like I take mostly my medication because of my job that I do, because I have to be super detail oriented and super like not distracting. Mm-hmm. I even wear headphones that are for like, they're earplugs, but you can still hear out of them. They're just supposed to cancel out the outside noise. I wear those so I can not get distracted.
Okay. Okay, because any little sound might pull you away, even when you're like on. And what medication is that? I'm sorry.
I have like 8 different medications. Bupropion, I think.
That's for the ADHD.
Yeah.
It's basically speed, right? It speeds you up, which somehow slows you down.
So I am on a stimulant, whereas what you're thinking of is like some of the harder stuff that's more of like adding to your body.
Yeah, like Adderall.
Yeah, Adderall is more of an adding to your body, whereas what I take helps stimulate my brain to produce what it needs to produce.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Okay, yeah, it's something.
One of my friends, he just got on Adderall because he found out he has ADHD, and his wife was like, oh, I might have some tendencies of that. I wonder what would happen. And so she tried one, like to see if I would, if it would do anything for her, which I don't know why she did that.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to do that, but okay. Go ahead, I'm listening.
No.
Yeah.
She said she like pretty much turned to having like ADHD brain and was like, how do you live this way?
Oh, it actually, she doesn't have ADHD, so it sped her up and she got like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she couldn't concentrate. She had so many thoughts of like different directions and stuff. And she's like, I don't know how you guys live this way.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, listen, everybody I've ever spoken to who has it, it sounds a little torturous to me, you know, and that's even for people who just talk about it lightly.
It's kind of like if you have your computer open and you have 100 different tabs open and you're using all of them at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a t-shirt that says, my life is like there's 100 tabs open. There's a video playing and I don't have any idea where the music's playing. And you know, that's my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't find which tab is making it. You're like, come on, why won't this stop?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting description actually, isn't it?
But it's a very good description of it.
No, it's really something. Wow. Okay. Do your parents that raised you, did you ever talk about this when you were younger, or were you just like, did they just think you were annoying?
No, they didn't. So I've always had like learning struggles, and I think it's partly due to the ADHD. I'm pretty sure if I really delve into it, I'd probably have autism too. They kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. But I've always struggled with learning. And so my mom, most of my mom, because my dad's a sheriff's officer, so he worked a lot. But, so kind of ironic. Sorry, squirrel. My dad's not only a sheriff's officer, he's a firefighter and an EMT. So I wonder where I get my work ethic from.
I saw a black squirrel today.
You stuck on squirrel?
No, you said it. And I was like, oh my God, how did you possibly use the word squirrel in a day when I've only spoken to two people and I saw a black squirrel today? And and if I don't say this here, no one's ever going to know what happened. So I had to say it out loud. Did you know there are black squirrels?
Yes, there are black squirrels.
Yes, you don't see them very frequently at all.
No.
It was like right out, I went to get the mail, and it was like right across the street from me. And I was like, I was on the phone with somebody. I don't want to brag, but I was on the phone with Pietro, who is that, he's the first guy to ever get like that jumbo pilot's license with type 1. Do you know what I mean? Like,
really?
Yeah. I was talking to him about his blood sugar. I'm sorry for telling people his business. And I was like, Pietro, there's a black squirrel in front of me. And then we talked about it for a while, and I thought, I'll never speak about this again. And then you said squirrel just some hours later. So now we can call the episode Black Squirrel, and we're all set.
Yeah, right.
I mean, right?
Tie it all together.
Yeah. I mean, I have to do something because I just, I'm not going to lie to you. It was the suicide attempts that got me off a murderer. But in my heart, that's what this episode's called. So just so you know that between you and me, if people are ever like, you know, that episode, it's the After Dark with Haley, I'll be like, oh, that was going to be murderer. But I'll go, yeah, Black Squirrel. I know which one you mean. So anyway, don't feel bad. Seriously. Do you have any depression now?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm sorry. You were like, hell yeah.
Yeah. No, if I'm off my meds, like for like 2 days, I go back to like trying to cut myself and everything else.
Hmm.
So
the medication's keeping the cutting away?
Yes, for the most part, unless it like it's pretty much so what the medication does for me is that it softens everything. So it's not as hard of a blow. Like if something happens that I can actually like kind of pull myself back and process it rather than being in it.
Interesting.
So if I'm not on the medication, then I can't process it. And then it just consumes me. And then I go into dangerous directions.
But with the medication, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, not as much. It takes a while. Like it takes something really big to get past it.
Okay.
The medication. So
name something that's overwhelmed the medication and made you feel depressed.
Like when my friend from work,
oh, they double-cross you.
Yeah.
The backstabbing.
Not only that, but I found out she was spreading rumors about me for like 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that was enough to make you obviously feel that way, even though the medication was happening.
Correct.
How long? So then you go out to your truck. You don't obviously kill yourself. So how long until you don't feel that way anymore?
I think I did cut myself when I was in the truck, and I was feeling very, considering how my son would life would be without me here and debating to start writing a suicide note and stuff. Like it was pretty dark.
Yeah.
And then I went back to work. And I'm like, I'm just going to get back to work. And I had like, I think I had like 4 more hours of work. And then I go straight from work to
therapy.
Therapy.
Yeah.
So.
And then you were able to work it out there?
Yeah.
Interesting. What kind of truck? I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know why that would matter. Although for some reason, I feel like it does. But I don't tell me. I don't want people to know what kind of car you have. Like, you know, is it an SUV or a pickup?
It's a pickup.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
I drive older Fords.
Oh, is it a two-door?
My first one was a two-door that I fixed up and like I actually sold for more money than I spent on it. But the one I have now is a four-door.
Okay. Interesting. I love a pickup truck. I was thinking of getting one. I don't know what I'd put in it.
So, yeah, I was going to keep my older truck, but with it only having a bench seat, I didn't feel good about putting car seat in it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's probably a smart move.
Yeah, I cried.
I every time I'm doing something, I'm like, I really need like a truck. And then when I think I should get a truck, I think, what would I do with a truck? I'm getting old. Like it would have been more helpful when I was younger, I think. You know what I mean?
I had a Malibu, a little Malibu, and I was able to fit a catering event for like 200 people in it.
Put a bush in my car once.
Huh?
I put a bush in my car one time.
See, you know, you figure out how to do it. Not always the best way.
The guy's like, do you want to deliver that? And I'm like, I don't want to pay you to drive that across the street. I was like,
you know, it just teaches you to be resourceful. Yeah. And how to play Jenga.
Yeah, there was a car bush one time. It's okay. It's like one of those situations where if you're at a stoplight and you know, like people are looking and they're like, hey, there's a bush in that guy's car. And you think, I really hope no one knows me, like sees me.
So speaking of something like that, there was one time when I went to grab my birds and I was going to someone else's house with them to do the deed.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wait, to kill the bird, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I had like 8 roosters, 5 geese, a bunch of pheasants, quail. And what else did I have? Some ducks all in the back of my truck. I had like 10 turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all in the back of my truck and I had opened the vent so you could hear all the animals. And so I stopped by somewhere and like you hear the roosters crowing and stuff.
I don't know why you're laughing. It's fantastic.
I'm laughing because it was so funny about your whole like, oh, I just had a tree in the back of my vehicle. Oh,
it was a bush. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. And yeah, my bush didn't make any noise. Do people have noisy bushes? I guess you could get a noisy bush, right?
Hey, you could get like the, you know, like the Christmas time thing where you put, and it's like, I can't remember what his name is, but you put the animatronic thing like in your Christmas tree and it talks.
Oh, not the fish, right?
Yeah,
but no. Something like that. It's an
actual thing for your Christmas tree.
It's like the face of a tree and it talks in the tree.
Yeah.
Yes. I oddly have seen that. Okay.
So I guess a bush could talk.
Yeah, talking bush. Who knows? But we've gotten pretty far from this subject at this point, Haley. I'm not going to lie to you.
I know.
Is there anything else we haven't talked about that we should have? What else was on your list that we haven't gotten to? Let me see.
I don't even remember my list. It's been so long.
There's no way you're going to remember this list. I'm looking here. It says, what are some of the things you hope to cover in your episode? Being diagnosed in my 20s. Misdiagnosis of type 2. We've got those. Diabetes and pregnancy, we haven't talked about that. Postpartum, yes. Relationship with your child while having issues, not really. And adopted. Okay, yeah. So what about your relationship with your child and your issues? Were you talking about like more of the mental health stuff?
Yeah, a lot of the mental health stuff. It's gotten a lot better than it used to, but I was very much like felt that I was inadequate.
Okay.
And that I had to... I wasn't blaming him. I blamed myself mm-hmm. for all that happened with like being, because I was at 21 weeks when I went into the hospital. No, 27 weeks. 27 weeks when I went into the hospital and I was there for 2 weeks. And then he was born at 20 or 32 weeks. So, and four days of that was labor. So, so for me, it felt like I failed in that whole thing of me having to do everything besides myself.
Yeah.
Like in spite of myself. So it felt more of like I failed I didn't get past my own body to tell it what to do and make it happen.
Hey, so just not the baby not making it to 9 months felt like a failure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because so when I was pregnant with my son, I got my A1C down to an 8, but that's as far as I can get it to go without like causing stress and really causing more issues. Mm-hmm. So I just kept it at that. And honestly, he was pretty healthy, but he was 4 pounds, 9 ounces at 2 months early. So he's pretty big.
Yeah. So he was getting bigger and you just, there's a lot going on there. The preeclampsia too.
Yeah. So
you couldn't keep your blood sugar lower and more stable because of your own anxiety, and you couldn't take your medication because you were pregnant. Is that right?
Well, I was on anxiety medication because they were noticing that when I go to the doctor, I would have a spike in blood pressure because I'm white coat syndrome and being super anxious about it all.
So you were able to be on that medication during the pregnancy?
Yeah, it didn't really work, but.
Jesus. Haley, tell me 3 things that are going well for you right now, please.
Oh, that's a hard question. Like, that sounds really terrible, but that is a hard question.
Is it?
Yeah.
One thing?
I got an attaboy at work last week.
There you go. My turkey sandwich was rock solid today. Like, it was. I smoked the turkey breast, and then I cut it up, and I put it on a nice piece of fresh sourdough, and I had it for lunch, and it was good. I'm not going to lie to you. Honestly, if you asked me what went right today, I'd say that sandwich. I don't have another answer.
Well, you got to sleep in.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying don't say that your thing is that bad. Yeah. Like getting an attaboy at work is pretty good, you know?
Well, yeah, and I've been on the hot seat at my job because of being easily distracted. So.
Oh, they're telling you like pull it together or you're not going to work here?
Yeah.
What kind of work is that? You don't have to tell me where it is, but like about what do you do?
Yeah, so it's a medical supply manufacturer and I work in the shipping and receiving department. So it's the parts that go into machines that you would see like at labs.
Okay. You've been sending the wrong parts to the wrong places?
Quantities or quality issues or whatever.
Whatever. They asked for 2, you sent them 15.
So I found out later on that I can't like count normally. I have to count with my hands. So like I have to feel the pieces leaving my hand in order to get an accurate count.
Okay.
So because it's for me, the more senses I use. So like hearing the piece drop in the cup and holding it and letting it go and using my eyes to see it, I'm usually more successful with actually getting it accurate.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. It's,
yeah. So the more senses you use, the more likely you're going to actually get accuracy.
You can't just throw one in and make a mark on a piece of paper, like 1, 2, 3, 4, then slash for 5 and keep doing that?
No, that wouldn't work.
You would not remember to make the slash?
I would get distracted and then forget what number I was on. Or I would like, did I put in 2 in the cup?
And that would be the end of it. How about that?
Yeah. Then I would have to restart over.
Yeah. Is there some company right now, like holding on to like 5 really expensive parts and you were only supposed to send them 2 and they're just giggling and they're like, I can't believe we're so lucky.
Mostly what I do now is actually the receiving department.
Okay.
So I receive in like materials and stuff so they can use it to make the parts.
Gotcha. Well, I hope that goes well. It sounds like it's going better. I hope that continues like that.
Yeah. Now that I'm on medication and actually able to figure out where are my shortcomings and able to fix them, it's much better.
Yeah. It's really interesting. How do you figure that out? Like, are you stuck waiting for someone to tell you?
So, yeah. So you mean like on the end, like if I make a mistake there?
No, I mean like bigger, like if you have something going on, I would imagine it doesn't feel like that to you. So like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you know you have ADHD or something like that?
Well, I had, because again, I never wanted myself to slow myself down. I would just figure out things in order to make it work. So I'd actually be able to succeed. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things like the tools and stuff, they say like, oh, these help people with ADHD. I've already been dealing with them for so long because I made it up trying to make it work for me.
I gotcha. Okay. I just know if you needed somebody to come along and say to you, like, hey, do you know that you are blank, blank, blank? And you'd go, no, I didn't know that. But now that I know, thank you. Or if it's you have a trouble with something and you can kind of start seeing it yourself.
Well, I guess for me, it's more that I've already found ways to make it work. So I don't notice it myself until someone else, like my little sister, brought it up to me and said, hey, you're having these issues. This looks, sounds like this. You should look into it.
And that's how you figure that out.
Yeah.
I see.
But for the most part, for me, I just figure out how to deal with it.
Wow. That's really interesting. I appreciate you sharing all this with me. I really do. And it's very nice of you to go out of your comfort zone to talk about this stuff. Being serious.
And I've turned it into a fact thing rather than an emotional thing. So we're good.
Well, if I tried to make you, like, I purposely didn't ask you to dig into your emotions, would it have, like, put you into a bad way?
Oh, no, because I would still keep it facts.
You wouldn't be able to do it.
No, it would literally just, because it's the whole paralyzing for me to have someone else feel the feelings that paralyze me.
But what if we got into it? What if we got into it and I started crying? What would happen to you then?
Oh, I would turn into, like, trying to show you the positive side of everything.
Oh. But you wouldn't be able to see it for yourself, because we'd be talking about you if you were telling me the positive side.
Yeah, so I would be able to, like, if you were sharing something, I would obviously, like, it would automatically, I would share something about me and say as a fact of, like, I also fail at this or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much of, like, I turn off my own emotions and my own pain in order to make someone else feel better.
What happens if you experience the emotions? Like, what if we weren't alone? You're completely by yourself and you're just experiencing them. How do you feel then?
Oh, I let it all out and it's like a bottle cap that comes off.
All right. You just kind of explode.
Yeah.
Do you feel better after that?
Depends. Either I'll feel better about it or I'll go in a deeper depression because I'm actually forced to think about it.
I see.
So it's easier for me to just not think about it and move on. I'm very much a person that, like, oh, that's inconvenient, but I have things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why I also add so much to my work and everything is because it's easier for me to fill up my time with work and projects or volunteering things or whatever.
Yeah.
In order to not feel.
I see. Wow. I appreciate you sharing all this. I don't honestly know where else to go from here, but it's been really interesting and I feel like educational. I feel like I've heard bits and pieces of this from other people in the past, but your story is obviously different than theirs. And again, makes me feel like I heard something new today, which I really appreciate.
Oh, good. I like to share, again, like, that was part of my whole reason of going on the podcast is sharing what I've experienced and being able to kind of put it in a personal level of understanding.
Yeah. No. I mean, we didn't start off, like, I didn't start off understanding all this about you. So, like, I thought we got through it pretty, like, you know, quickly to the part where you were, like, this is all of my story, you know?
Yeah.
You know, were you not planning on doing that? Or were you waiting for me to find it?
I don't ever plan anything. So it just kind of comes out.
You hadn't thought about it previously? Like, when you're getting ready to do this, you hadn't thought to yourself, like, oh, I hope this doesn't come up? Or
I knew there was things that I wanted to, like, talk about, like the whole diabetes and pregnancy. And then also, like, the difficulties of getting diagnosed later on in life when you don't have your family to kind of help you out.
Mm-hmm.
And also adoption and everything and having the uncertainties of, like, what else can I have? Because I have no idea what my background is.
Yeah, wow. No, it's something else. Okay. I'm going to say thank you. I think this has been terrific. I really do appreciate your time. Yeah, no, I appreciate it very much. I'm going to hang up with, well, you're going to stay on for a minute because I'm going to ask you more about where you live because I want to know. But the other people, they don't get to hear. That's not their business. A huge thanks to the Contour Next Gen Blood Glucose Meter for sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast. Learn more and get started today at contournext.com/juicebox. Mark is an incredible example of what so many experience living with diabetes. You show up for yourself and others every day, never letting diabetes define you. And that is what the Medtronic Champion community is all about. Each of us is strong, and together, we're even stronger. To hear more stories from the Medtronic Champion community, or to share your own story, visit medtronicdiabetes.com/juicebox. Don't forget, we still have Mark's conversation at the very end. It's a terrific kind of mini episode, about 10 minutes long, that goes deeper into some of the things that you heard Mark talking about earlier in the show. You have questions? Scott and Jenny have answers. There are now 19 Ask Scott and Jenny episodes. That's where Jenny Smith and I answer questions from the audience. If you'd like to see a list of them, go to juiceboxpodcast.com, up into the menu, and click on Ask Scott and Jenny. And now my full conversation with Medtronic champion, Mark. Mark, how old were you when you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes?
I was 28.
28. How old are you now?
47.
47. So just about 20 years?
Yeah, 19 years.
What was your management style when you were diagnosed?
I used injections for about 6 months, and then my endocrinologist in the Navy recommended a pump.
How long had you been in the Navy?
See, 8 years up to that point.
8 years.
Yeah.
I've interviewed a number of people who have been diagnosed during service, and most of the time they're discharged. What happened to you?
I was medically discharged. Yeah, 6 months after my diagnosis.
I don't understand the whole system. Is that like honorable?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, essentially, if you get a medical discharge, you get a commensurate honorable discharge. I guess there could be cases where something other than that, but that's really how it happens. So it's an honorable discharge but because of medical reasons.
And that still gives you access to the VA for the rest of your life, right?
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Do you use the VA for your management?
Yeah, I used to up until a few years ago when we moved to North Carolina. It just became untenable. Mm-hmm. Just the rigmarole and process to kind of get all the things I needed, you know, for diabetes management. It was far easier just to go through a private practice.
Was it your goal to stay in the Navy for your whole life, your career?
It was. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think a few months before my diagnosis, my wife and I had that discussion about, you know, staying in for the long term. And, you know, we'd made the decision despite all the hardships and time away from home. That was what we loved the most. So that's what made it that much more difficult.
Was the Navy a lifetime goal of yours or something you came to as an adult?
Lifetime goal. I mean, as my earliest childhood memories were flying, being a fighter pilot, and specifically being a, you know, flying on and off aircraft carriers. So, you know, watching Top Gun in the 80s certainly was a catalyst for that.
You've taken off and landed a jet on an aircraft carrier?
Hundreds of times.
Is there anything in life as exhilarating as that?
No, but there's a roller coaster I rode at, I think it's Cedar Rapids up in Cleveland, mm-hmm. Sandusky. And they've got this roller coaster that takes you from zero to, I think it's like 80 or something. You go up a big hill and you come right back down. So the acceleration is pretty similar, I would say, to a catapult shot.
I'm going to guess you own a Tesla.
I don't. Oh, okay. I'm a boring guy. I got a hybrid RAV4. I get made fun of. I get called, you know, my wife says I drive like a grandpa. I'm a 5 miles per hour over the speed limit person. No more than that. So yeah, in the car, I'm boring, Scott.
So you've never felt a need to try to replace that with something else?
You can't replace it. It's irreplaceable.
That's what I thought.
So up until the point where someone, you know, buys me an F-18 or allows me to get inside a 2-seater and fly it, you can't replace it.
How did it make you feel when you saw, or maybe you haven't seen, a gentleman named Pietro has his large aircraft license. He's flying for a major carrier now. He has type 1 diabetes. Does that feel hopeful to you?
Yeah, it does. You know, when I was diagnosed, that wasn't a possibility. The FAA prohibited commercial pilots who had type 1 diabetes. But I think it was 2017 when they changed their rules to allow type 1 diabetics to be commercial pilots. And part of the reason they did that was because of the technology advancements, specifically in pump therapy and pump management. So I don't have any aspirations of going to the commercial airlines, but one of my sons who has type 1 diabetes very much wants to be a commercial pilot. So, you know, in that respect, I'm very hopeful and thankful.
Yeah. Do you fly privately now for pleasure?
I do. Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is fly my kids to the different soccer tournaments I have all over the Southeast U.S. So last week, my wife and I and two of our boys flew up to Richmond for their soccer tournaments up there. And Charlie, who's my middle child, has type 1 diabetes. So, you know, if I can combine flying, family, and football in one weekend, to me, I think I've just achieved Valhalla.
So then it sounds to me like this diagnosis was a significant course correction for you. Can you tell me how it affected your dream?
Well, I guess three words come to mind. First, it was devastating. Everything I had done in life, everything I'd worked up to that point was just taken away in an instant. And I was not prepared for that at all. The second emotion was it was scary. I hadn't thought much about life outside the Navy, certainly not life as anything else but a fighter pilot. And Heather and I were getting ready to move to France. I was going to do an exchange tour with the French Naval Air Force. So we were taking French classes. So pretty quickly, I had to reinvent myself. And then probably the most important thing at the same time that all that was going on, I had to learn how to deal with type 1 diabetes and how to manage it effectively. The third thing that pops into my mind, I guess, is challenging. You know, new daily routines I had to establish, first with injections and then eventually, you know, through pump management. And then learning how to count carbs and recognize highs and lows, how my body reacts to blood sugar trends based on exercise and stress and those types of things. And my goal at that time, and it still is today, is to leverage technology and make sure my habit patterns are effective so that I take diabetes management from the forefront to the background.
Have you had success with that? Do you feel like you've made the transition well?
I have. I mean, I believe in continuous improvement, so there's always more to do. I will say the technology since I was diagnosed, specifically with pump management, is just it's just incredible. It takes less of me intervening, and it's really done by the pump itself and by the algorithms through the CGMs. And to me, again, that should be the goal for everybody, is to not have to focus so much on the daily aspects of type 1 diabetes management. You know, we should let technology do that for us.
What else have you found valuable? I've spoken to thousands of people with type 1 diabetes. The one thing that took me by surprise, because I don't have type 1 myself and my daughter was very young when she was diagnosed, I didn't really understand until I launched this podcast and then it grew into this kind of big Facebook presence. I heard people say, I don't know anybody else who has type 1 diabetes. I wish I knew more people. But until I saw them come together, I didn't recognize how important it was.
Yeah, I think similarly, I didn't know anyone with type 1 diabetes growing up as an adult up until when I was diagnosed. And then all of a sudden, people just came out of the woodwork. And when CGMs first hit the market, certainly within the last 5 years, it's amazing to me and my family how many people we've noticed with type 1 diabetes simply because you can see the CGM on their arm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say a month does not go by where we don't run into someone at a restaurant or an amusement park or a sporting event or somewhere where we see somebody else with type 1 diabetes. And the other surprising aspect of that is just how quickly you make friends. And I'll give an example. We were at a soccer tournament up in Raleigh this past Saturday and Sunday, and the referee came over to my son, Charlie, at the end of the game and said, "Hey, I noticed you were wearing a pump." And he lifted up his shirt and showed his pump as well and said, "I've had type 1 diabetes since I was 9 years old. I played soccer in college. I'm sure that's your aspiration. And I just want to tell you, don't let type 1 diabetes ever stop you from achieving your dreams and what you want to do." And this gentleman was probably in his, you know, late 50s or 60s. So just having that connection and seeing, you know, the outreach and people's willingness to share their experiences, it just means the world to us and just makes us feel like we're part of a strong community.
Yeah. So would you say that the most important things are strong technology, tools, understanding how to manage yourself, and a connection to others?
Yeah, technology for sure, and knowing how to leverage it. And then the community, and that community is your friends, your family, caregivers, you know, for me, the Medtronic Champions community. You know, all those resources that are out there to, you know, help guide the way, but then help you keep abreast on, you know, the new things that are coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
And to give you hope for eventually, you know, that we can find a cure.
You mentioned that your son wanted to be a pilot. He also has type 1 diabetes. How old was he when he was diagnosed?
So Henry was diagnosed when he was 12 years old. It was just at the start of COVID. We were actually visiting my in-laws in Tennessee. We woke up in the morning and he had wet his bed. And several years before that, we had all four of our boys tested for TrialNet. So, you know, predictor of whether or not they're going to develop type 1 diabetes. And Henry and one of his brothers tested positive for a lot of the indicators. So we always kind of had an inclination that there was a high degree of possibility he would develop it. But we always had it in the back of our mind as well. And so when that event happened at the beginning of COVID, we had him take his blood sugar on my glucometer. And it was over 400. And so right away, we knew that without even being diagnosed properly by an endocrinologist that he was a type 1 diabetic. So we hurried home to get him properly diagnosed in Charlottesville. And then we just started the process, first grieving, but then acceptance and, you know, his eventual becoming part of the team that nobody wants to join.
How old is he now?
Yeah, he's 15 years old now.
When's the first time he came to you and said, "Is this going to stop me from flying?"
Almost immediately. So like me, he always had aspirations of flying. In fact, he, out of all four boys, wanted to be in the military. And that was a difficult part of the conversation and maybe something that we don't talk about as a community. But there are some things you cannot do as a type 1 diabetic. And that's a hard fact of life. And unfortunately, joining the military is one of those hard and fast things. You cannot join the military as a type 1 diabetic. So that was very difficult for him and for me and my wife to get over. Then we also started talking about being a commercial pilot. And so I saw that same excitement in his eyes because like me, you know, he can be in an F-18 or a 737 or a Cirrus SR20 that I fly and be just as happy. Yeah. So he still has that passion today and still very much plans to eventually become a commercial pilot.
I appreciate you sharing that with me. Thank you. Do you have four children? Do any others have type 1?
They do. My oldest twin, Henry, has type 1 diabetes, and my middle son, Charlie, has type 1 diabetes as well.
The boys are twins.
The oldest two are twins. One has type 1 diabetes. My middle son, who is not a twin, has type 1 diabetes.
I see. Is there any other autoimmune in your family?
There isn't. I'm really the only person in my family or my wife's family that we know of with any sort of autoimmune disease, certainly type 1 diabetes. So unfortunately, I was the first to strike it rich and unfortunately pass it along to two of my sons.
But celiac, thyroid, anything like that?
Not at all, nothing. We're really a pretty healthy family. So this came out of nowhere for myself and for my two sons.
That's really something. I appreciate your time very much, and I appreciate you sharing this with me. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Scott.
Learn more about the Medtronic Champion community at MedtronicDiabetes.com/juicebox or by searching the hashtag Medtronic Champion on your favorite social media platform. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Juice Box podcast. The episode you just heard was professionally edited by Wrong Way Recording. WrongWayRecording.com.